You're watching Meet the Movie Press, and coming up, we're going to be talking about the Oscar nominations, Sundance, and The Last Jedi. I think that they're talking about me.
The last one?
Yeah.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
Good morning, Simon. Sorry.
Hey, how are you?
Now,
I need to buy you.
Lower the levels here a little bit. Jeez. Sitting right here.
Fool around with the
knobs. You got full Jeff.
I didn't mean to yell. Yeah. I'm just so excited this morning.
I need to buy you a new alarm clock.
Thank you.
Seriously.
Yeah,
Every single week.
I busted my butt to get here.
We were here
at 9 o'clock.
Like a little bro breakfast.
I was gonna be the guest.
I was gonna be 5 minutes late, and then 5 turns into 10 with this LA traffic. Burbank Boulevard. There's construction up and down the street
in Los Angeles.
Jeff,
can you believe
so
it? What are the chances of that?
It's so hard
to
be
gas.
Jeff.
I've spent all my gas getting to Silver Lake this week.
Oh my god.
So, anyways, I'm Jeff Snyder, editor in chief of the Tracking Board, tracking-board.com. Make sure to include that hyphen at the InSnyder on Twitter. With me as always.
Hello, Simon Thompson, at Showbiz Simon on Twitter and Instagram, and this is Simon Thompson on Facebook.
And with us today, he may look familiar to you, Mr. Neil Turrett.
Hello there.
Good morning, everyone.
Columnist for the Tracking Board.
Mm.
Colleague.
Is that crazy?
Comrade in arms. Look at us.
See?
The bad boys of...
Now, this is not a Bad Boys sequel that I ever anticipated.
The worst Bad Boys sequel.
Hang on. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence aren't available. Martin Lawrence is always fucking available.
If I'm Will Smith and you're Martin Lawrence, you're like Joe Pesci in like Lethal Weapon. Like, hey, guys, like, what's up?
I was thinking
Okay,
this
fuck you at the drive-thru. Fuck you at the drive-thru.
This is the Bad Boys sequel if they had originally gone with their first call of John Lovitz and Dana Carvey.
Right. That's right.
Was that the original idea?
Yes.
Shit.
That was how it was originally.
Thank God they were busy.
I would still see that. You know, Adam Sandler.
I would still see that movie.
Adam Sandler used his fourth Netflix slot on making that movie.
You see, Chris Kattan and Will Ferrell. I would have watched that Bad Boys. I love Chris Kattan. Yeah. Mango is the best Saturday Night Live character ever.
Guys, we can't be fucking around today.
No, we can't.
We've lost so much time already.
Yes. Yeah. I apologize. Hopefully, they'll give us a little extra time in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, no one comes in immediately on our heels. But let's dig in and talk about the Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
They hit this week. There was a different kind of presentation to them. It wasn't just a guy in a microphone reading off the names.
Me no likey.
No, we will get into that. Mm. But let's start with the big headline, La La Land. 14 nominations, tying All About Eve and Titanic, both of which went on to win Best Picture. Is this a foregone conclusion?
Yeah.
Yes. Neil?
I think
well, that was a great discussion.
Moving on. Best Supporting.
I think it's probably going to win. I don't think it should. I think it's probably going to. Just like Birdman beat Boyhood, because it's a movie about Hollywood and people in the Academy love that shit.
Okay, here's the thing.
But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion.
I think this is like a fallacy. I mean, about the people in Hollywood love movies about Hollywood. Like, they like them, yeah, but they're not
There's
just voting them for Best Picture if they weren't deserving.
I'm not saying it doesn't deserve... It's not a really good movie. I don't think it's... I don't understand the overwhelming... love for the film. It's fine. It's a good movie. It's too long.
Okay.
You know, the two of them are great.
Mm-hmm.
The music is fun. But, you
know. It is a little too long.
It's too long.
Isn't it?
You know, I mean, Moonlight's a better
Isn't
movie.
It?
Isn't it?
I think Moonlight's a better movie. I think, my favorite film of the year, I think the best film I saw a year was Hell or High Water.
Okay.
You know, that to me is, that's a Best Picture, but it's not going to win.
Now, that has a chance at original screenplay, though.
Yeah.
I think Manchester is the favorite in that category.
I would love if Taylor Sheridan won. I interviewed him this week. Just lovely to talk to and knows how lucky he is. But, I mean, just he's the best writer in Hollywood right now of taut, smart action movies.
Simon?
You see, I early this week thought potentially Moonlight might take it because that's a hot movie right now.
And that is the only competition. It seems like a two-film race.
Yeah, I think it is. But I watched Moonlight this week. I got a screener.
Have you never seen it?
No.
Oh, wow, okay.
I thought it was good. I didn't love it.
No.
You know, I thought
either.
It was a well-made movie.
Yeah,
I really loved it.
I
don't even really understand the love. Like, there are movies that people love, and
but also,
I don't love them, but
in
I get
our
it.
Circles, there's a lot of people that are kind of a bit wanky about movies, and they think that they should. We had this with Birth of a Nation. And we have this with Blair fucking Witch, which I watched this week. That sucks dick, by the way. That was like the meh.
It sucks. We try not to use that phrase here on Meet the Movie Plus.
But I didn't get what... It was a well-made movie. Well-written. Nice characters.
I'll tell you why I loved it. Because I think that this is why some people, why a lot of people really gravitate towards it. Because you either make an emotional connection to this character through the three vignettes or you don't. Mm. I think if you don't and you guys didn't, you think, okay, it's a well-made movie, it's fine. If you do, like I did, then you think, okay, this is a really special film. I think that that's, like I wrote a column about this a few weeks ago about the fact, maybe it was November, about the fact that that's the difference that between a good film and a great film or a mediocre film and a good film is, do you make that emotional connection to the characters?
See, I did with La La Land, but not necessarily the characters, more like the vibe of the film, the Los Angeles feel, the music, the visuals. I had that connection that really touched me.
And I didn't. I actually felt like, okay, I enjoy this movie. It's a perfectly well-made movie. The two of them are great. I'm enjoying it, but I'm not completely knocked out by it.
But you don't live here.
I spend a fair amount of time here.
You're not a dreamer.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not a dreamer, Neil.
You're dreamers.
What's wrong with your dreams?
I don't have them because I'm not one. I'm not a dreamer.
Do you think that Barry Jenkins could potentially upset Damien for Best Director?
Yes.
Or do you think they'll feel like they're going to give him the screenplay, the adapted screenplay award?
I think he's going to get screenplay, but I think as a director, visually, Moonlight is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
I mean, so is La La Land.
And I think the tone of Moonlight is great, but as a film, it didn't...
I just wonder if there'll be, you know, that faction in the Academy that wants to split Best Picture and Best Director.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which to me is a weird dichotomy, because usually the best film will have the best director and the best screenplay. It's all parts. It's ingredients in the pie.
Right.
So I find it quite weird how sometimes
They spread it around and sometimes they're just like, listen, we obviously love your movie. It's getting everything.
Yeah.
So it feels like right now, Casey Affleck and Viola Davis are locks. Would you say that?
You think Casey Affleck is a lock?
I do.
Yeah, I think so.
I think Mahershala Ali is a lock.
Okay, well, wait. Let's stick to those for two categories first, because then I'm going to go to Mahershala and Emma.
I don't believe Casey Affleck is a lock.
Okay, so who do you think could pull that off?
I think Denzel Washington could beat him.
Okay.
I think I don't believe that... You know what's interesting is, were we going to talk about snubs at all at any point?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll come back to this then. But I mean, I think that Denzel Washington could give him a run because I think it's still possible that even though he has the nomination, Casey Affleck's past of questionable behavior.
Mel Gibson got a Best Director nomination. Does that matter?
He's not going to win. But that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and he's been in director jail for so long. I don't think he deserved that nomination. So, by the way, Mel. But
I mean,
you
know. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Casey got dragged through the mud years ago when all that happened, too. I mean, it's not like he hasn't been punished or... I don't know.
Has he been punished, though?
First of all, it's a different thing. It's a civil case.
Yeah.
These women chose not to go to the police, and they chose to settle for money.
The thing is, we've
discussed this previously. If we're looking at a film on its artistic merits, and on their artistic merits and their ability, I don't think we should consider... The other stuff.
As soon as Mel Gibson gets nominated this year, I think it's a pretty strong message that the Academy is not taking that stuff into account.
Well, at least the director's branch isn't.
Fair enough.
The director's branch isn't. Now the entire Academy votes. And it was just, Casey Affleck was nominated purely by the acting
I just feel like Casey's work is so strong in this movie.
I think he's
and
great.
And he's been winning everything.
I wouldn't have a problem with him winning. You just said, is he a lock? And
sure.
I don't think
okay, no, that's fair. Okay. But you think he's a lock?
I think he is, yeah.
And we all agree Viola's going to win.
Without question.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we'll go into the other two categories. Emma Stone, is she a lock or...
No.
So vulnerable.
No. I mean, as leads in La La Land, I thought the chemistry between Ryan and Emma, as much as I enjoyed the film, there is far better chemistry amongst far more cast members in far more films this year than those two in La La Land. La La Land is not about the film. It's about the components of the film, the soundtrack, the visuals, the direction. It's really... Ryan and Emma are front and center, but they don't make that movie. It's the story, it's the visuals, it's the music that make that movie for me.
Okay.
I actually agree with you. I think that that's true. I thought that both of them were very good, but I was not knocked out by the performance of either one.
Yeah, they're vessels.
I will agree with that, but again...
Disapprovingly?
I thought Natalie Portman delivered the best technical performance of the year, or at least as far
technical?
As...
Technical?
Just like she was fantastic.
But she left me cold. It was so fucking clinical.
Movie. Okay.
But but
that's been a big criticism of Jackie. It's why it didn't break through in the best picture field.
If you look in a book on acting, her performance was textbook. It ticked boxes. It was totally clinical. It was by the numbers acting. She did a great job, but there was nothing in that that made me think that it was skill.
Then who is the threat to Emma Stone? Is it Isabel Hooper?
Isabel Hooper. Interesting. I'll tell you why.
Definitely.
Because the fact that she got the nomination over Annette Bening is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But on top of that, this would be a perfect way to get... She's recognized by a lot of people as the best actress on the planet. And this is a perfect way to give her a career achievement kind of award.
Mm.
And certainly not going to get... Meryl's not going to get it. Ruth Negga is terrific.
Right, she's happy to be there.
Her nomination is her award. And I think...
And Loving's a great movie.
I liked Loving.
It's a great movie.
And I want to talk about Joel Edgerton in a second. But here's the thing. I could very easily see Emma Stone and Natalie Portman splitting the vote and Isabel Huppert coming in.
Okay. I think that's totally on the table, too.
Something that's being discussed in the chat is, and this has come up a lot on Twitter this week, you've had questions about it, I've had questions about it, Amy Adams.
Yeah, I mean, a big snub, if you want to just get to the snubs, yeah.
Yeah, I love the movie, surprised. And I thought that she made that movie, you know, she's terrific in it. I couldn't believe it.
And she's been nominated 4 or 5 times, right? So I just think the Academy really likes her, and I was surprised... when I didn't hear her name.
Mm. You see, I liked her in Arrival, but I preferred her in Nocturnal Animals. I thought that was the better acting.
Well, okay.
By some margin.
For real?
Yeah, I don't agree with that, but okay.
She's just taking off her glasses and reading a book the whole movie.
I enjoyed her a lot more.
Put the glasses back on.
I tell you, what I thought was interesting was... The Academy, several times this has happened over the few years, is there are two brilliant performances in a movie, and they don't nominate both of them. It happened with Amour. He didn't get nominated, and she did. It happened with Blue Valentine. Michelle Williams got nominated, and Ryan Gosling didn't.
Yep.
And it happened in Loving, because Joel Edgerton didn't get the nomination, and Ruth Negga did. And that doesn't make any sense to me, because the performances in all three of those movies, one doesn't work without the other. As good as the performance, one performance is, it doesn't work without the strong performance matching it.
I mean, I agree with you. I didn't think either performance in Loving was that impressive, and I was actually shocked to hear her name on Tuesday morning. But that may be one of the results of like the diversity push within the Academy. Like may make the difference when you're inviting 600 new members in. I don't know if it was like maybe 40% of those were of color. Last year?
Something like that.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about with Oscars? About that? So you didn't like the presentation.
I didn't. I just... It missed something. Mm-hmm. It just felt a little bit... It lacked the special element that you expect with the Oscars. I mean, it's the biggest the biggest kid in the playground when it comes to award ceremonies. Everybody wants an Oscar. SAG, great. Fantastic. Golden Globes, great. People's Choice Awards, great. Everybody wants an Oscar, and it just felt a little bit lacking in grandiose for me.
Grandiosity?
Fair enough, but...
Grandiose.
Okay, but...
It's huge.
Would you have preferred the other way?
Yeah. I think...
The other way is so boring.
It's very staid.
Yeah, it's just people getting up on the microphone, reading names, and they're going so fast you can barely even type them out.
I like the fact that they... So
your argument is
new.
Typing.
Huh? No, I just...
Isn't that always the central argument?
Typing
is the central argument.
Wouldn't you rather be in the room and have that excitement?
No.
When,
I've never been in the... I don't know. If I'm the press, what do I care about that excitement?
But I feel
I'm here
so
to
special.
Deliver the excitement to everybody else. That's the job. So I don't need like a dog and pony show at 5:30 in the morning for me.
Okay, well then, let's take the whole video streaming out of it. Let's just issue a press release and everyone can copy and paste and stick that on LetsDoABC.com.
I like that they did something different. And I thought...
What do you want, dancing bears?
Huh?
Dancing bears? That'd be different.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be.
Let's just move on.
Didn't do it for me.
Okay. Well, I commend the Academy and the producers for trying something a little bit different.
I like the fact they tried something different. Not have been 100% dead on, but it was.
Should we move on from Oscars?
Sure.
All right. Sundance. Yeah. None of us were there.
No.
But there were some huge bidding wars.
Huge.
The Big Six sold for 10.5.
And we're not the only ones saying this. For 12. Many people are saying this.
Right. Big Six sold for 12, Patty Cakes 10.5. There's a bidding war for Mudbound. It sounds like Call Me By Your Name went over really well, the gay love story with Armie Hammer and Timothy Chalamet. There were a few things that jumped out at me. One, have you heard of the horror movie XX? It's a horror anthology.
Yes, I actually had a release on this yesterday, and I'm really intrigued by that.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it, too. I saw that Joe Blow gave it, like, a negative review.
Right.
Which they're totally, it's within their right to do. And then someone, I'm forgetting who it was on Facebook, they were basically like, you know, that's what I have come to expect from Joe Blow, which has, like, a tab on the top of the site that says mistresses. It's, you know, like, just photos of hot actresses and stuff. Yeah. So it hasn't exactly changed with the times, Joe Blow, but I feel like this criticism, it came from someone within the industry, like a producer.
Vaguely anachronistically misogynistic.
Was it Mr. Skin, by any chance?
I forget who it was, but he was taking this Joe Blow critic to task and been like, you know, I'm not surprised, you know, coming from a site like this. But he was sort of saying, like, oh, of course men are going to criticize this movie, horror movie, directed by all women. I feel like, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but I feel like critics' opinions are becoming invalid, you know, because
whether they have a Y chromosome or not.
Right. It's like, okay, so this is a movie directed by women. Here's this male reviewer. He can't dislike it. Mm. Like, that makes him a misogynist or something, or a sexist. I don't know. It feels like another overreaction.
I think it's fine if it's not a good movie, which is subjective.
Right, and some of the horror anthologies aren't very good.
Most anthologies aren't very good.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, is that you're right, and that you of all people know that people have that right now, that there's a hypersensitivity and everybody feels entitled to having their due, and if somebody doesn't like something they do, it's because they're Jewish, they're woman, they're black, they're
if you're
Asian,
a black Jewish woman,
anyone,
it's not a good time to be alive.
One of
those
things is, you know, like somebody doesn't like one of my columns, it's not like I say, well, because you're a bigot, you're an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. If you don't like my column, okay, you don't like my column, great. Okay, I got another one in 2 days.
I felt bad for this critic because you get assigned with this sexist thing and it's really just, listen, I didn't like the movie. I don't care that it was directed by all women or all men or whatever. It wasn't for me. That has to be a valid opinion.
Yeah.
But my point is that doesn't stop people from going on the offensive because they can't take criticism. I mean, it's like the fact that, look, the guy wrote his opinion and he puts it out there. And if somebody wants to attack him, okay, well, you know what? If we are doing something that puts us in the public view, whether it's expressing our opinion or creating something, you have to take the heat, whether it's fair or not. You know, I mean, you and I both have caught shit for one thing.
Yeah, Simon,
or another.
Has that happened to you? Have you ever, like, sort of faced a little bit of a backlash for something you've written?
Oh, fuck yeah. I mean, I one thing that I wrote a review for Bad Moms last year, and I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were like, well, it wasn't made for you. You should have got a woman to review it because they would understand it. And I'm like, well, I'm not a fucking superhero, but I get Captain America, and I really enjoy it.
Right.
You're not American.
And I'm not American.
Captain America.
Yeah, but I just don't think, I mean, there aren't, A, enough women directors.
Agreed.
B, there aren't enough female horror directors. I mean, the only ones that occur to me are possibly the Soska sisters, who did American Mary, which I loved.
There's a lot of female horror directors.
How many come to the fore, though?
Women love horror. Like, horror is a female-driven genre.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
but I'm curious to see it. But there, are, I mean, just anthology movies are just generally not great. I mean, First VHS, liked it.
They're
I've been watching quite a few
they're
recently.
Always
By their very nature.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting thing that stood out to me. I was like, we should talk about this on Meet the Movie Press.
I just don't think you can say it's because women or it's not women that you can really use that as an argument.
Right.
That's not the point.
No, it's whether you're a good filmmaker. Well, not having a vagina doesn't make you a better or a worse
filmmaker. No. I agree with what you're saying. And I think what I'm saying is that you have – this is what people fall back on because they have nothing else.
Well, we had that with Ghostbusters last year. Ghostbusters was not a great movie.
Ghostbusters was a fucked up situation. Like,
yeah.
That was bullshit.
But that was already predestined by the fact that it was women playing roles that were previously men.
You misunderstand. I'm referring purely to the people who are attacking the critic for not liking the movie.
I see.
That they're talking about, they see this as their excuse is, well, you didn't like it because you're a man and it's directed by women.
Right.
Which is bullshit.
Yeah,
but this
that's
is
how
the thing
I
they have to fall back on. So I'm agreeing with everybody. No,
yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with anything that's being said
it's
here.
It's okay to disagree.
I'm specifically talking, no, I know, but I'm saying specifically what I'm calling out the people who are calling out this guy for expressing his opinion. And that's something that we all have to deal with. All three of us have to deal with on a regular basis.
But you know,
and anybody who publishes anything or puts something out for public consumption, whether it's a film or a TV show or an opinion piece, we have to deal with that. And it's some of it's bullshit, some of it's unfair, but this is what we ask for in this age where people respond immediately via Twitter, via comments, via anything.
100% agree. But we also have this not necessarily with the sex of a director, but with a genre. I mean, I know critics who go into certain genres of movies who instantly, if it's horror, it's probably going to be throwaway, it's going to be shit. So I think it's not just about the sex of the reviewer or the sex of the director. I think some people are just predisposed
to
not like it on principle because of their own prejudices.
But that's not actually
And it works the other way. There are people who also are guaranteed to 100% like something because it's a certain type of movie or a certain director or whatever. Francis Ford Coppola gave us Jack.
back to Sundance. There was just
and on that note,
a few other things, like, you know, Sundance is becoming a new exhibition place for failed TV pilots.
Yes.
We saw a couple of those, Downward Dog with Alison Tolman from Fargo, which
it
I guess
ended up getting picked up somewhere, didn't it?
I don't even know. And Hulu, a failed Hulu pilot, When the Lights, Street Lights Go On or whatever.
Yep.
So that is kind of an interesting development. Where we could see these shows that would otherwise disappear because they didn't get picked up, they get a new life at Sundance and a new audience. We're seeing a ton of VR installations. They've made a huge push in recent years, and it sounds like there were some good ones this year.
Yeah,
are you guys believers in VR?
Right now, no. I mean, I know there's a lot of talk about it in the industry, but I just not.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it.
Neither am I. I wrote a column about it actually last summer, basically saying
this guy's written a column about everything. I love it.
I'm an opinionated guy. What can I say? I'm an opinionated guy. I don't get it. I actually was out last night with a mutual friend of ours, Paul Flug, and he was telling me about this new thing at IMAX where they've got this VR installation, and he was telling me about it, and it sounds great for limited amounts of time, but for mainstream entertainment, I just don't see it. I don't get it.
There was the Women's March at Sundance, which made the front page of the New York Times. They used the Park City photo, and I think that's kind of interesting.
And Chelsea Handler should not be on the front page of anything, really, if you ask me.
Chelsea Handler would disagree.
It just sounds like that went over really well at the festival. I'm sorry to have missed out on that, but obviously there were marches all over. And then the last thing just with Sundance.
I took part in the one in LA.
That's great.
Because I'm a liberal.
Oh, good for you, man.
Yeah, I did. I had to show my
I was so tired from my first week at work. I slept in. And the last thing was just, I did a story about a bidding war for Mudbound, which has gotten a lot of acclaim over at Sundance. And what was interesting was that I was told that the producers were reluctant to sell to two studios because of this award season. They didn't want to sell to Fox Searchlight because they botched they just didn't handle the Nate Parker situation very well, and they didn't want to sell to Focus because they kind of botched the campaign for Loving.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Ruth Negga got nominated, but that was the film's only nomination. It was a bit of a surprise one at that. A lot of people thought that could have gotten either writer or directing noms or even a Best Picture nom.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I thought that was a really interesting tidbit. It felt a little gossipy writing that in a story, but I guess, we have a little bit more leeway at the tracking board.
I think so.
We can tell it,
you're
like
the
it,
editor
like
now,
it is
so
a little
really,
bit more.
You get to set the tone.
I don't know. That was just interesting to me. Like, if that was your movie, would you have faulted Fox Searchlight for what happened with Birth of a Nation? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I absolutely would. Because they knew about this from the jump. And they let the story
get
away from them.
Right.
And what they could have done, there are any number of ways they could have taken care of that problem from the very beginning. And they let it sneak up on them and it got out of their control. Absolutely, 100%.
I agree.
Okay.
100%.
We can move on.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Star Wars. Simon.
Hey, I do love supporting these small independent movies.
Right.
Because I think they need help. They're just not performing.
They're not really. Office. You want to get them out in the public eye to really drum up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The Last Jedi, which didn't surprise me. when
I like that they took it out of the crawl from Force Awakens.
Yeah,
huh? That's kind of cool. Like, everyone's going to be looking at that Episode 8 crawl for, like, what could be the you know, have they hidden the title for 9 in there?
Yeah.
What do you think? Who does it refer to? Or what?
There have been a lot of theories. I think, here's my outsider theory, I think it's a character that we haven't met yet.
Ooh.
Or Yoda.
That would be cool.
But because everybody's looking at...
But Yoda's dead.
Is he, though?
Yoda is always with us.
With us, always.
Yeah, but also, you know, I think potentially...
So close.
That's because everybody's going like, oh, okay, it's going to be this character or that character. It's going to be Luke or it's going to be Rey or whatever. I think it's something's hidden up the sleeve of Star Wars. I think
I like that.
Otherwise,
theory.
I'll
get on board with that.
Too fucking obvious.
Do you think it's singular or plural?
I think it's plural.
Yeah, I kind of think.
I don't think. Come on, I mean, it's Disney. Why would you have one fucking Jedi when you can have 10?
There you have it, folks. There's going to be 10 Jedi in Star Wars.
No, but
episode
seriously,
8.
Why would you have one Jedi in one hour
on Cinema Blend? Right. There's going to be a story.
Yes, who could be the 10 Jedi that Simon Thompson is referring to?
Is Samuel
Kevin
Jackson
Hart.
Coming back?
Kevin Hart is all, he's all 10.
He's all... Martin Lawrence, he's available. I think it's plural. And why would you if you can potentially milk this Star Wars would you have one?
I hope that this reveal lasts until the movie, mm-hmm. kind of like the Harrison Ford thing did in 7, spoiler alert.
What?
And I don't want to see this dissected to pieces online. Please just like let the mystery
Let's wait 11 months for the movie to come out.
I can't do not like 11 months of who is the last
So
Jedi
when do you think
articles?
We're going to see the first trailer? I'm going to put end of February on the table.
I have no opinion because I could not possibly care less.
I was going to say, why wouldn't they do it for the Super Bowl? Yeah. Or you think you just get lost in the shuffle there?
Super Bowl will be
Super
a good...
Bowl? No, it's not going to get lost in the shuffle of the Super Bowl. It's because people, if you put it right after the national anthem or something, when they first go to commercial, people go bananas.
Touchdown, you
mean? Yes. Maybe we'll see it at the Super Bowl.
I'm surprised we haven't seen a Justice League trailer yet.
Yeah. It comes out even earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. But apparently,
we've seen a million photos of all of them standing around looking
really fucking bored.
The question, I think that's the big mission
Wonder
of the
Woman
movie.
Texting.
I think that's the big mission of the movie is can they get out of that building?
MK Songbird in the chat says Yoda is just hibernating, period. # alternative facts.
Yes, I like that. Alternative facts. Let's stay in the DC universe while we're talking about Justice League. And Justin Curl of Variety did a story about Joby Harold doing a page one rewrite of The Flash.
Yeah.
They have no idea what to do with this movie, do they?
They have no idea. Well,
also,
apparently...
is The Flash basically just one page currently? dude, good news is we need a one-page rewrite. What's the bad news? All we've got is one page.
Yes. That's a good...
Thank you.
We need like a rim shot.
We need a rim shot. Right there.
A what?
The Flash still doesn't have a director either, so it sounds like they're going to wait until
they get this new draft.
They're
going to let Joby do the draft. Yeah, right. I actually heard something about this yesterday, that he came in with it. They really were floundering after Famuyiwa left.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, okay, when they went around town and said, give us some new pitches, and they had something specific in mind they wanted, and Joby Harold came in and said, here's the way I see it, and they said, that's exactly what we want. So now he's going to... And he's actually right now producing... He's in Europe right now. They're doing the Robin Hood movie that he wrote.
Right.
Because we need another Robin Hood movie.
Robin Hood
like
and
a fucking
King
Peter
Arthur.
Pan movie.
Oh, yeah, he did Robin Hood and King Arthur. King Arthur looks good. I think.
That's it.
I think it does.
That's
it.
Are you okay? Really?
I like King Arthur.
Okay.
I like Charlie Hunnam.
I like Charlie Hunnam.
I got no problem. I didn't like Man from U.N.C.L.E., but Guy Ritchie's generally entertaining.
I liked Man from U.N.C.L.E.
I like
really?
Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found it crushingly boring.
Oh. Well, you're wrong.
Okay. See you guys.
Oh my God, film internet.
I was thinking of that just because Henry Cavill switched agencies this week.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, it felt like he needed a change. Like, he could have a much bigger career. Outside of the DC universe.
Henry Cavill for me is really interesting when it comes to management, because I kind of imagine that he's got some guy in New York called Moyle who's sitting behind a desk on somewhere on Fifth Avenue going,
Moyle?
Hey, Moyle. I'm Merle. Hey, oh, Merle. Hey, oh, okay. Hey, like he's got a great movie for you. I got a great movie for you. What are you going to do? You're a spider. Okay, anything else? No, you're just a spider. Because he just made some of the fucking worst decisions. It'll be huge.
The Spider and the Arachnophobia remake. Yeah. I like that. I watched that this week. I love that movie.
Arachnophobia.
This is
30
seconds of my life. I'm just never getting back.
No, yeah, I know. Sorry. Just never ever getting back. Henry Cavill, though, I liked in Man in Front. Where he's eating the sandwich. That was great.
Yeah.
Deadline had a crazy story last week about Tim Miller potentially directing the Terminator reboot for James Cameron.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
That was a whopper. Unconfirmable. None of the other trades went with it. But it seemed like there, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Reboot, and also
the people I reached out to could not comment.
What I read.
Yeah, it's, like I mean, it's that Cameron is gonna he gets the rights back in 2019, mm-hmm. like automatically, I guess, like that part of his original 1984 deal that 35 years later the rights would revert to him or something. So now he can do whatever he wants with it, not beholden to any of the Ellisons, and you know, and he wants to have the Deadpool director, you know, take charge of it.
Deadpool's a great movie.
Deadpool is a great movie.
I think that Tim Miller is a cool fit for Terminator. Yeah. And could make a pretty cool Terminator movie. That said, I want nothing to do with a new Terminator movie. Let this fucking franchise sit for like a decade.
Yeah, I totally agree. I do kind of like the fact that they've got James Cameron to kind of oversee it, going like, hey, Jim, can you make sure they don't fuck it up again? Because you kind of dropped the ball.
Yeah, no, I don't think James Cameron could make a bad Terminator movie.
No.
None of the bad, you know, he did 1 and 2, and then he wasn't involved the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting to see him return to that franchise, but at the same time,
we should have stopped Terminator movies at the second one.
Yeah.
But that's not how Hollywood works.
That movie's so fucking good.
Can I just say, we're talking about movies. Now, nothing goes together with movies like food.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I like where this is going.
So we all love to sit at home, sometimes wearing pants, sometimes not wearing pants. We love to stick on a movie, and we love to have a little bit of food, right? Are you, Neil, are you a cook? Do you cook?
I do.
Yeah.
I don't cook.
You're not, you're like, no.
I had Pizza Hut last night, bro.
If it's not coming out of a box, Jeff is not interested. However, if you like food that's in a box, then you really need to get your stuff together and try out Blue Apron.
Food in a box, girl.
Food in a box. Because they are not only the number one fresh ingredient supplier for meals to your door, but they also do a lot of stuff with a lot of local producers, which is really
good. Thank God. Got to keep them in business.
Absolutely. I mean, cooking together builds strong family bonds as well.
Local businesses. Yep. It's all about local businesses.
And movies. So family bonds, movies and food.
Wonderful.
It's kind of a synergy going on. Also, if you haven't tried it, you really should do. So if you want to try, you need to go to blueapron.com/meat, M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T.
Yeah, right.
Don't
do
that.
The movie press.
Yeah,
I get it.
So meat. Try that out, and you can try some of Blue Apron stuff yourself.
That is wonderful.
You should do that.
And you know who I heard uses Blue Apron?
Who?
Tim Story, who's directing the Shaft reboot.
Does he?
Maybe.
He does now.
What a spectacular segue.
To blueapron.com/meat, we are feeding Tim Story.
Tim Story directing the Shaft reboot, the man responsible for the Barbershop and Ride Along franchises. Yeah, and there's one
the
more.
The two Fantastic Four
right,
movies.
Right, and Fantastic Four.
Thank you, Tim.
And Rise of the Silver Surfer.
I can dig it. Can you dig it?
Yeah.
I like the idea of Shaft coming back. I know that they've tried for a long time rebooting this. They did the Sam Jackson one.
Which I liked a lot.
But it didn't really go anywhere.
No, it didn't.
I thought Singleton did a good job with it.
Yeah, it wasn't
he
bad.
He also gave
it's
us Taxi, didn't he? With Queen Latifah and Jimmy Fallon. Yeah.
We're going to forget about that.
Hang on. We're going to talk about Silver Surfer. We're going to dismiss Taxi.
Yeah, forget Taxi. Brush that under the rug. This
your
is a positive,
priorities are wrong.
This is a positive spin on this Shaft story. Who would you like to see playing? I guess it would be the son of John Shaft?
The first thing I would suggest would be Luke. Mike Coulter, but he's already Nick Cage.
He would be actually awesome.
He would be amazing.
That's a good call.
He would be amazing. I mean, you can just imagine him coming in.
I totally can.
Wearing that
but
jacket.
But like, he's like almost too big. Like, I don't think of Shaft as like Mr. Muscles.
You know, you could give it to Chadwick Boseman. He doesn't have enough work these days.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Does Shaft have to be black?
Who would he be? Latino?
I was I was just thinking that
Shaft
if they
can't
wanna...
be white if yeah, that's what you're.
Yeah, it defeats the whole purpose.
He's definitely not
is he
white.
Asian American?
Well, no, I know, but we're playing with this in Hollywood right now.
Sure. I don't understand the direction of this question.
Well, they play with it the other way. They don't take iconic black characters and make them white. White.
Yeah, or take that away from.
I'm just putting it out there.
It's not a bad idea. Let's take it back. But it wouldn't be a white guy, like a Latino guy, maybe.
Woman.
No. A woman named Shaft.
Miss Shaft.
Okay, that means.
No,
it's
I was,
time to
I
move
was just
on,
thinking wow. potentially, you know, you right could play around with it. What really, about Leslie really quickly, Jones or someone like that?
Leslie Jones.
Leslie Shaft. Jones. Yeah. A black woman.
I actually kind of like that.
Oh, no. It's really? Not a, it's
but
not
I'm
going
to pretend to not like it because damn you, Simon. I hate me when you make
taking
me like your ideas.
Taking out penises out of cat movies. I think she'd be fucking awesome.
Is that 4 minutes or 14? I can't see.
14.
Okay. 14 minutes.
Dominic West just got hired as Tomb Raider's father.
Yeah.
I like Dominic West.
Not Ralph Fiennes.
Yep. And that is who I had heard it was going to be. Yep. Boris also tweeted Viggo Mortensen and Colin Firth. But hey, I like Dominic West. The affair's been okay this season, but the last episode was awesome. And I was just thinking while watching The Affair, why doesn't this guy kind of get bigger feature movies? Because, I mean, he's so good. He's the fucking star of The Wire, the greatest TV show ever.
Greatest TV show ever.
Yeah, yep. It's like, why don't we see more of him on the big screen? So I kind of like this.
I love The Wire. Needed a laughter track, though.
Someone should do that. I would watch
Sunday
that.
Night
someone
on
should
HBO,
do that.
The
I should
Wire.
Do that viral video where there's a laugh track on The Wire. That's good.
Thank you.
Okay. Whatever. Tomb Raider. Our audience just loves Tomb Raider, so I had to mention that. Jonah Hill pulled in Michelle Williams to star in his directorial debut mid-90s.
Yep.
That's kind of cool. She's playing another mom. Should probably do a little bit more mothering in this movie than in Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah.
There's not a lot
terrible
of mothering
joke.
Going on there, yeah.
Is it just me that whenever I see Michelle Williams, I always have to check whether it's Michelle Williams off of Dawson's Creek or Michelle Williams off of Destiny's Child?
That is a little
That's
weird.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, I always like...
The latter is not in the public eye all that much anymore.
No, she's available.
She's in the public left eye.
Lift that Lopez.
I don't know. That's TLC. Yeah.
Don't cross R&B.
There's no longer with
but
us.
No, so. I always check. Waterfalls. I'm like, Michelle Williams. Oh, good. She's got work. Oh, right. The right one.
I was just impressed that Jonah Hill, you know, got a great actress like Michelle Williams to commit to do this. Mm-hmm. I think it speaks, you know, highly to this project, which has always intrigued me. I like the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
About a kid sort of, you know, growing up, coming of age movie. So who better than Jonah Hill to direct that?
Are we going to see Slim Jonah or Fat Jonah?
I don't know if we're going to see Jonah at all. I bet he could stay behind the camera. And speaking of behind the camera, Bryan Singer staying behind the camera for the X-Men TV show.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything about this yet, right?
No,
it's going to have X-Men in it.
I think it was widely presumed he was going to direct, but now it's official. I think it's about a couple who finds out that their kids are mutants, and so the whole family has to go on the run.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. Seems kind of cool. I might watch that. As long as it's not on the CW.
One thing I'm... that's a fair point. One thing I'm surprised related to X-Men is not getting more buzz is Legion.
I was just going to bring up Legion.
Because
it's something that just came out.
Genuinely interested.
They loved it.
But I'm looking forward to it. I see, driving through LA, I see lots of posters for it, but I just don't get the street buzz.
It hasn't started.
No, but I thought, usually before TV shows start, you get a little bit of this hype, but it's 2 weeks away. Is it 2 weeks or 10 days?
I'm getting the hype. I mean, again, the reviews but just getting, hit like yesterday.
Here's the
or
thing.
Something.
Are you getting the hype from people within the industry or the average Joe on the street?
Jeff doesn't spend a lot of time talking to the average Joe on the street.
I don't speak to those people.
he walks by and says, ahoy, Polloy.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I think more because it's Dan Stevens.
I love Dan Stevens.
Yeah.
Love Dan Stevens.
Friend of my wife, by the way.
He'd be a great James Bond.
Is he?
Yeah. He was at university with my wife.
You got to keep a fucking eye on that.
Absolutely.
He's a stud.
Dan
Stevens would be a great James Bond.
I completely agree.
When they replace Craig, keep it in the Dan family.
Right.
Just
I don't know. Visually, it's just supposed to be really neat. So I'm excited for it.
I thought the trailer, the stuff I've seen looks great.
And Dan Stevens could have gone and had a huge feature career. He's going to be in Beauty and the Beast. He's he's the Beast.
If you haven't seen The Guest, by the way, you really should check that out.
Yeah, it's awesome. Because that's the balls. He's in Colossal. So yeah. He has like a big year, and he probably could have gone and continued to become a movie star. So this material must have been really something special for him to commit to like a 5 to 7 year run.
Well, Noah Hawley is a pretty talented guy.
Right, of course. Yeah. The creator of Fargo. The first two seasons of Fargo were great. We got Naomi Harris joining The Rock in Rampage.
Also a friend
Love
of my
Naomi
wife.
Naomi Harris.
Dude, your wife knows
everybody. Yeah, they were all at university at Cambridge in the UK. I actually found, my wife the other day found a card where my wife had been, took them on a theatre tour of America. And Naomi Harris sent my wife a card to say thank you for all your hard work. We found it the other day.
Very
like
cool.
All our stuff.
And now she's an Oscar nominee.
I like to think my wife played a big part
And Miss Moneypenny.
That's right.
Yes.
And also the most beautiful woman I think I've ever seen in
She
person.
Is really? Gorgeous. And she's also lovely.
I mean, this was in college for After the Sunset. I did that junk and I came away just thinking, I'd never seen a human being as radiant and gorgeous. Mm.
She said the same
thing
about
you. She's a damn good actress, and I like the pairing with The Rock. I think that could be a really interesting couple.
I also love the game Rampage. As a kid in the...
I never played it.
Really?
I'm not sure what to expect.
It's basically monsters breaking up buildings. I'm thinking they're going to play with the plot.
Refresh
somehow.
My memory. Naomi Harris is in 28 Days
Moonlight.
Later, too,
yes.
right?
Yes. With Jeremy Renner.
Right.
Okay.
No, that's 28 Weeks Later. Rose Byrne.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Michael Dougherty now confirmed to direct Godzilla 2. He was writing, but there was a little bit of confusion whether he was going to be directing. He did Trick or Treat.
Yeah.
He did Krampus. Legendary, obviously.
Oh, right.
Really
Krampus,
likes him. But are we getting Kong versus Godzilla before Godzilla 2, right?
We are, yeah.
Okay. Are you guys excited for King Kong?
I do like the idea. I mean, I like the cast.
Cast is great.
And they're putting a lot of time and effort into it, so I think it's going to be a pretty polished product. And I didn't like Godzilla. I did not like that movie.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, see, it left me cold. But I am interested to see Kong. Kong makes me excited for Kong versus Godzilla. I feel more excited about that.
By the way, that should be 2017, not 2016.
Meet what am I doing?
Press for January
2017. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We got about 8 minutes left in the show and a whole bunch of things to talk about. Let's talk about Split, which made $40 million last weekend.
About twice what was expected.
Yeah, way overperforming expectations. Clearly, you know, people were hungry for some new movies, it felt like.
And also, I think there's a taste for good horror.
Yes.
I use it broadly because it's not a horror movie, but I think there's a hunger for that right now.
Mm-hmm. So, what did you think of the movie? Did you see it?
I haven't seen it.
Okay, wait. Do you want to be...
I know.
Are you okay being spoiled and everything? Okay.
I'm not... Yeah. Yes.
So, this is a spoiler alert. If you have not seen Split, stop listening now.
Yeah.
Simon, what did you think of the movie?
For the next 2 minutes and then come back.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, we'll try to do this in 2 minutes. What did you think?
I liked it. I didn't like it as much as I was expecting to like it because everybody came out of the screenings last year and were kind of like, you know, sort of coming in their pants, kind of like, oh my God, it's the best thing ever. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really good. I thought the performances were great. I thought it was really nicely structured. The one thing that bugged me was at the end, and I'll try not to do too much of a spoiler.
No. You can get into it.
I paid to see this in a theatre, and it wasn't a full theatre, but the amount of people around me in the theatre who did not get Bruce Willis at the end was like, they just didn't get it. And that kind of pissed me off.
But
obviously, I mean, it's in there for a reason. It doesn't really tie into the film itself. It kind of
and
does.
And it was for
but
us.
But it's really because, it's for
but
us,
it's
the
film
fans.
It's not for the 18-year-olds because they haven't even seen Unbreakable.
No, but these are people who were like not teens. They were like adults. But they didn't get it. But also, it does tie in, and it makes me very, very positive about the Split sequel / Unbreakable sequel, possibly crossover, that M. Night is looking
to do.
Right,
he wants to do it next.
Yeah, I think that, to me, is a really interesting idea, and it does set it up really nicely.
I thought the movie was entertaining, but I didn't think it was a very good movie. I didn't think it really added up to much, and then they maybe realized that and were like, you know, sticking this button on at the end. Now the button is cool.
Yeah,
it's definitely a jaw dropper, and it will leave you talking on your way out of the theater. But you're not talking about Split, really. You're talking about Unbreakable coming back.
Yeah,
I think that the idea of a third movie, you know, where Bruce Willis has to go after McAvoy.
Yeah,
that could be super cool.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I'm just sort of like, the thing that stands out to me, and I've wanted to write about this and have not been able to get a clear answer out of anybody. Mm. What is the rights situation here? Okay,
Unbreakable?
Yes, this is a Universal release split. Mm-hmm. Unbreakable was a Disney release.
Yeah.
How is Bruce Willis's character showing up in this movie? Well, was there a trade?
I read about this actually on shout out for Slash Film. I actually read about this week, and apparently M. Night owns all of that property.
So, okay, that's what I was going to say. Was M. Night Shyamalan so powerful after The Sixth Sense that he could retain ownership of his characters in Unbreakable?
I don't think it's necessarily about power. I think it's just that's the kind of guy he is, because he's very much the commander of his own realm when it comes to movie making.
So now he's the commander, when he's working with $5 million budgets and he has creative control to do whatever he wants, I get how he might be able to keep the rights there, but I was just so surprised. That is a Disney property. You would think maybe if Disney wants to go back to Mr. Glass or do something else in that universe, but
Disney's eyes have now been averted to completely different kind of
properties.
Sure,
they don't care about it. They don't give a fuck about it. So maybe they just let it go. But like, I wonder, was there a conversation there? Did Knight just own it outright and he didn't even ask Disney for permission? Because when I called Disney after AFI, they seemed like almost surprised. Mm. They were like, "Wait, what?"
no, but apparently
that's
he
my favorite
owns
reaction
this, so.
To anything. Wait, what?
Wait, huh?
Huh? I'm sorry, say that to me
again?
Like
when I called CBS and said James Corden is going to be taking over for Craig Ferguson. They were like, what? And now look at him. Marvel confirmed the Black Panther cast.
Yes.
With Andy Serkis and Martin Freeman.
And started filming.
And in South Korea, which is cool.
Interesting Korea move.
Yep.
And we talked about this when I was here last month, that this is the greatest cast of any superhero movie, I think, ever.
It's pretty fucking baller.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking at that cast in full yesterday, I was very impressed. And there had been some question about whether Andy Serkis and Martin Freeman's characters would be back. But they are. What else?
Sing 2.
Getting a sequel, not surprised, was a big hit.
Did not like that.
They're sticking... You didn't like
it?
No,
I liked it.
Did not like it.
Oh, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I didn't hate it, but it just... I thought... Having said that, last year was a very strong year for animated movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it came out at the tail end of that, and it just didn't meter up for me. It was fine. It was adequate. But when you compare it to even, like, Finding Dory or Kubo, which was fucking brilliant, it just, for me, didn't deliver.
It was still my favorite Illumination movie.
Really?
What about you guys?
I agree.
See, I enjoyed Secret Life of Pets more.
Oh, that was bad.
I didn't even watch it. But I liked Sing a lot. I thought Sing was it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So you're wrong.
Okay.
Continue. Fine. What's next?
Good.
What is next?
Should we talk about... We've only got like 2 minutes. Can we get some more time? Can we get an extra couple of minutes?
I'm letting Simon ask because I was the late one, so
can we get five more minutes on the clock? Five? No? We're still... Okay, I'm wasting time asking. Okay, cool. So movies coming out this week. We need to talk about... Obviously, Split is likely to take the top spot.
No. Resident Evil.
Well, you see...
Or Dog's Purpose!
Well, it's interesting because I thought Dog's Purpose was going to take top spot this weekend.
Uh-huh.
But it's looking like that's going to come in second or third. It's going to vie with Resident Evil. Resident Evil is predicted to come in, about 12 million.
I've learned
Dog's
better...
Dog's Purpose about 18 million.
I've learned not to argue with you about box office. So you put
Why
me,
was that?
You put me in my place.
Hashtag so hidden
not,
figures.
Yeah, I'm not even going to fucking go there with you.
But, I mean, the thing is that last night, Thursday night previews, Resident Evil brought in 1 million. Which is strong compared to Dog's Purpose, 455,000 on Thursday previews. But I think Dog's Purpose potentially could edge Resident Evil because it's got the family, more potentially bums on seats, more ticket sales over the weekend.
Right.
But I think
the
Split,
sales will be
I think word of mouth on Split is going to be very strong. So I think that could retain top spot this weekend.
We'll see.
I haven't seen any of Dog's Purpose or Resident Evil.
We've kind of run out of time, so I'll let Neil just to pontificate on Mary Tyler Moore for a few seconds, because that's his column today at Tracking Board.
Yes. The modern... The way we look at TV right now, the modern scope of the world of television would not exist without her. Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Roseanne Barr, name the female star of the last 30, 35 years. They don't exist. They don't have the success without Mary Tyler Moore. She wasn't just a brilliant actress who was the star of her own show. She was a producer. She was a groundbreaking producer and was one of the first stalwart artist rights representatives. So,
all right. So make sure to check check out the Tracking Board today.
Yep,
check out Neil's full column
late morning.
That's going to do it for Meet the Movie Press. Neil, where can everybody find you?
At Neil Turitz, N-E-I-L-T-U-R-I-T-Z. That's me on Twitter. And Monday, Wednesday, Friday at the Tracking Board.
Cool. Simon?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ShowbizSimon and, of course, Blue Apron. Don't forget, you get your first three meals free. So that's blueapron.com/meet, M-E-E-T.
And I'm Jeff Snyder at The In Snyder, new editor-in-chief at The Tracking Board. Make sure to check that out.
Check out The Tracking Board.
I stand with Katie Rich, folks. Stand with Katie Rich. Have a good weekend.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.